There he goes into that drugstore. He's stepping on the scales.
Weight, 239 pounds. Fortune, danger.
Who is it? The Fat Man. And now, here's the Fat Man in Murder Shows a Phantom Face.
The empty road wound snake-like beside the river. It was an old river, wide and sluggish, with tired hills rolling off on each side. A lonesome, desolate place. The early November twilight slipped across the valley. The hills gazed reproachfully at the river and began putting on gray shrouds for the night. I pulled my topcoat close around me and turned on the headlights. 3 hours from the city by car, she said on the phone. Money is no object, Mr. Runyon. That was just about all she had said, in a voice as distant as the North Pole and twice as cold. Annabel Gunston. I couldn't place the name, but it had a vaguely familiar sound. The rain came in torrents, splashed against the windshield. Suddenly, a tall iron gate appeared on the right side of the road. The gate stood open under a crescent of faded iron letters that spelled Gunston Lodge. I swung the car through the gate and into a steep, tree-lined gravel drive. After about a quarter of a mile, the house came into view. It stood directly on top of a cliff that sheered off to the river 200 feet below. It was a big house. Big and old. Its old-fashioned turrets looked like bony fingers reaching towards the leaden sky. I rapped a knocker on the front door.
Yes, sir?
My name is Runyon. I believe Miss Gunston is expecting me.
Which Miss Gunston, sir?
Are there more than one?
There are three Miss Gunston, sir. Miss Frances, Miss Laura, and Miss Annabel.
I'll try Miss Annabel.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Scabbard. Tell Miss Annabel that Mr. Runyon is here.
Yes, sir. Just come inside. I'll tell her.
Ah, hello, big boy. You're pretty fat. You're kind of good looking, fat.
That could be a cue for something, is it?
Maybe. I heard you tell Thorne you came to see Annabel. Now, why would a man come to see her?
If she looks like you, I might be able to answer that.
She doesn't look like me or act like me. Let's have a drink for our nice.
Later. Business before pleasure.
I don't like business. But I like you. You're nice. What do you think about that?
I think somebody ought to give you a good spanking.
That's what they all say. But they all like me, even Brutus and that sneaky doctor of Laura's. But Brutus is gone now.
Miss Gunston, we'll see you now, Mr. Lane.
Okay.
Don't forget that drink, Brown Eyes.
If I do, it'll be the first time.
This way, sir.
Who was that, Vaughn?
Miss Frances, sir. The youngest of the three sisters.
Interesting girl.
Yes, sir.
She mentioned somebody named Brutus. Know who that might be?
Her father, sir. Mr. Brutus Gunston.
She said he'd gone away.
Yes, sir.
Long trip?
Quite long, sir. Mr. Brutus died last week.
Come in, Mr. Runyon. That'll be all, Thorne.
Yes, Miss Annabel.
Sit down, Mr. Runyon. I must apologize if I appear to be nervous, but I've been extremely upset.
I understand. Cigarette?
No. And I'd prefer it if you did not smoke in my presence.
Okay. Your sister didn't seem to mind.
My sister? You've seen my sister?
The young one downstairs in the hall.
Frances.
Mm-hmm.
That is unfortunate. Mr. Runyon, my younger sisters and I do not see eye to eye in a great many matters, one of which is my reason for asking you to come here. I might add that my younger sister, Frances, is not quite all she might be.
I see what you mean.
She caused my poor father untold trouble.
I understand he died last week. I'm sorry.
Yes, it was a terrible blow. And, Mr. Runyon, it has to do with my reason for sending for you.
I see. Suppose you tell me all about it.
My father did not die of natural causes, Mr. Runyon. He was murdered.
Murdered? Why didn't you call in the police?
I couldn't call the police because there was no proof, no evidence. He supposedly died of a heart attack. That's why I've hired you. I want you to find proof of my father's murderer. I want you to find his murderer.
If there wasn't any evidence of murder, what makes you so sure? What did the doctor say? Didn't you mention your suspicions?
Of course I did. I told all of them, and they laughed at me. Said I was imagining things. And that doctor, he said it was a heart attack.
If it wasn't his heart, what was it?
Oh, it was a heart attack, all right. That's why there was no proof. Even the broken bottle of pills on the floor, the disarranged bedclothes.
What about the broken bottle?
Father had some pills. I don't know exactly what they were, but he took them for relief whenever an attack started. He kept them on the table beside his bed. He died late at night. The bottle of pills was lying on the floor, broken. Of course, Dr. Taylor said Father had obviously knocked them over himself. I don't believe it.
You mean you think somebody deliberately knocked over the bottle when your father had the attack, so he couldn't reach the medicine?
I'm sure of it. I'm also sure that this attack was caused by something.
For instance?
For instance, sudden fright. His face and death had the most horrible expression of fear I've ever seen. My father was murdered, and I intend to find his murderer. That's why you're here. I'll pay you well.
Just what do you want me to do?
I want you to stay here in the house for a few days as a guest.
Just what do you think I can find out by doing that?
Mr. Runyon, I'm not a person to point the finger of suspicion without just an ample proof. But there are people in this house who will benefit by my poor father's death.
Meaning?
Meaning, first, my two sisters. My father was a sensible man. He was a very wealthy man. He'd arranged his wealth in such a manner that we three daughters should not come into money of our own until we reached the age of 35. Except in the case of his death. I am 40 years old. My sister Laura is 28 and my younger sister Frances is only 25.
Are you accusing your sisters of murder?
No. I'm only pointing out the fact that they benefit by his death. There are others in this house who benefit also.
The butler?
My father's will left Thorne $10,000.
You said others. Who else?
Dr. Taylor. My father's physician is staying in the house as a guest. He also stands an excellent chance of benefiting by father's death.
How?
He is engaged to marry my sister Laura.
Come in.
I beg your pardon, sir, but Miss Annabelle wished me to tell you that dinner will be served in 15 minutes.
Good, I'm hungry. Oh, by the way, Thorn, it's raining pretty hard outside, and I left my car standing in the driveway.
I took the liberty of putting it away, sir. It's in the garage.
Oh, thank you.
If you would be so kind, sir, as to follow me.
Follow you? What do you mean?
Miss Laura would like a word with you, sir.
Laura, eh? Okay, what can I lose?
Her room is just down the hall. It's that room there, sir.
Thank you, Thorn.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Thorn.
Yes, sir.
I was just wondering, how does it feel to inherit $10,000?
The Pardon, sir?
Never mind, skip it.
Yes, sir.
Come in, quickly. I must apologize for asking you to my room, but I had to see you in private.
Why?
You needn't pretend. You're a detective.
And you know why I'm here.
Of course, and it's too ridiculous. Father murdered. Why, it's absurd. He was a sick man. He died of a heart attack in the middle of the night.
Your sister Annabel doesn't think it so absurd.
Mr. Runyon, my sister Annabel suffers from what you might call hallucinations. You don't know her very well. She's a strange woman. My father's death was a great shock to her. You see, she was very close to him, closer than my sister Frances or I. That's why I wanted to talk to you before she makes a complete fool of herself.
In that case, it shouldn't do any harm for me to look around a little bit to humor her. Then I can tell her.
No, no, you don't understand. Don't you see, if people know that a detective is here, that the family thinks my father was murdered, surely you can see what that sort of talk might cause? That's why you must leave here at once tonight.
I'm sorry, Miss Gunston, but I'm afraid I can't do that. Your sister has hired me and...
Very well, then. In that case, I'll tell you the truth.
It might help.
My sister Annabel suffers from something worse than innocent hallucinations. You've seen her. You know what she looks like.
She certainly didn't get her share of the family looks.
Annabel is much older than Frances and I. She never had boyfriends, never went out. Certainly never considered marrying. She devoted all her time to Father, taking care of him, managing the home. Naturally, she was Father's favorite. 10 years ago, she became quite ill, and Father was forced to send her away for nearly a year.
Let's talk straight, Miss Laura. What do you mean ill? You mean insane?
Call it that if you want to. She was pronounced cured and returned home. I'm sure you can understand now why I...
Miss Laura, is it true that Annabel has hired a...
Really, Ray, don't you think you should knock?
Hi. I'm sorry, Laura.
Well, this is Mr. Runyon.
How do you do?
My fiancé, Dr. Taylor.
You were going to say something, Doctor. Don't let me stop you.
Well,
Mr. Runyon is a detective, Ray. Annabel hired him because she feels that Father was murdered.
Oh, well, that's just too silly, Mr. Runyon.
Maybe I ought to find that out for myself. Brutus Gunston died of a heart attack. I was his doctor. I don't know what caused his death.
Yeah, you should. But I'd like to ask...
Wait a minute. There's somebody outside that door. Looking for something, Thorne?
No, sir. Miss Annabel wanted me to announce that dinner is served.
Dinner was a cozy little affair in a candlelit room big enough for a basketball game. There was no talking, very little eating. A lot of looking, mostly at me. The candles threw great flickering shadows at the beam ceiling. A big wooden fire at one end of the room caught the shadows and tossed them to a rain-splashed French window on the opposite side. The young one, Frances, sat on my right in a low-cut evening dress that only she could wear. She wore a delicate perfume that did what it was supposed to do. Thorne had gone out for the dessert when she squeezed my hand lightly under the table. The doctor and Laura were across from me, silent. Annabel sat grimly at the head of the table, staring at the windows. The flickering fire behind her gave her thin, repressed face a skull-like appearance.
Annabel!
What's the matter? Annabel!
The window! The window! There was a face! There was a face against the window!
Do you see anything?
No.
Annabel, you're sure you saw something?
Yes, yes, I tell you, I saw it. It was horrible.
There was nothing there, Miss Annabel.
No. No, of course it's not there now. It only stayed a second.
Did you recognize it?
You won't believe me, but I did.
Who was it?
It was Father.
Nonsense, Annabel.
I tell you, I saw him. I know he was murdered now. He was trying to tell me something.
Now stop it, Annabel. You're upset. You're imagining things. It's opening too much for you. You gotta control yourself.
It was Father, I tell you. I saw his face. He's trying to speak. I can't stand anymore.
Come, Annabel. You'd better lie down.
I'll give you something to make you sleep.
No. You stay away from me. Stay away from me. Mr. Runyon, please don't let him touch me.
Take it easy.
Now, really, Annabel, you've got to control yourself. Come, I'll help you to your room.
I tell you, I saw saw him.
She'll be all right.
I saw him.
It's a simple case of pills. I'll give her a sip.
Nice act, wasn't it?
Yeah, Francis. If it was an act.
How are your nerves, Brown Eyes?
I'm ready for that drink you promised me.
There's a bar downstairs.
Complete with ghosts, bats, and witches.
And 30-year-old brandy.
Is that all?
That's charming. And I'll make it more charming. Brown Eyes.
This modern bar doesn't seem to go with the rest of the gloom.
There are a lot of things in this house that don't go together.
For instance?
You're a detective, aren't you?
Uh-huh. And detectives ask questions.
This is the only room in the house I like. Brutus liked it, too.
And Brutus was an honorable man.
You're nice. I like you. You're bright.
And you're a lot smarter than you pretend to be.
Maybe. Yes, I know Brutus. I know him a lot better than the frustrated Annabelle or the pure and mighty Laura. He liked me, too, anyway. Maybe it was because I was like him. He built this bar, you know, but he never lived to enjoy it.
And you caused him a lot of worry.
I suppose Annabelle told you that. Yes, I guess I did my share. But I really liked him. For all his faults, he was a real man. I like real men.
Not yet, sweetheart. The drinks.
All right, Brown Eyes. Here's to gloom and ghosts and murder.
He was murdered then?
Yes.
So you knocked over the bottle of pills.
No, Brown Eyes, I didn't knock over the bottle of pills. But I think I know who did.
Who?
Oh, maybe it's better to let sleeping dogs lie.
But sleeping dogs have a habit of waking up and biting.
Oh, Brutus was getting old when he died. Old and sick and tired. Maybe it was best.
Murder is never best.
See in that picture there at the end of the bar? That's the way I like to remember him. Handsome, arrogant, and smiling.
So this is Brutus, your father.
I hung it there just after... What are you doing? Why are you taking it down?
Just a second and I'll show you.
Oh, don't take it out of the frame.
Hold it, sweetheart. Just a moment. Yeah, I'll get this out of the frame. Now, look here.
Why, the head of the picture's been cut out like a paper doll.
It's the face Annabelle saw in the window tonight. See how carefully it's been cut, so it could be put back against the rest of the picture.
Yes.
Whoever did it figured nobody would look closely at this picture if it was hanging on the wall in its frame. So they cut out the head, took it to the window tonight for Annabelle to see, then brought it back and put it in the frame again.
Then she did see the face.
I'll say she did. It was dark outside. It was raining. Annabelle's nerves are shot. All she really needed was a suggestion. This was more than that. It was her father's face.
But who could have done it? We were all there.
Not all. Thorne the butler wasn't in the room.
But I thought... Well, I was sure.
Sure that what?
Well, I see it all now. I know who murdered Father. It was... the lights. Somebody turn off the lights.
Francis! Francis!
What happened? What is it? What are those shots?
Francis. She's hurt.
No, Laura. Your sister's dead.
Dead? No, no.
Somebody shot her from the head of the stairs. Didn't you see anybody?
No.
No, I didn't.
Where were you?
I just taken Annabelle to her room up in the tower.
The tower?
That's what we call it. It's a turret overlooking the river.
Sir, I tell you, I don't know.
What happened, Runyon?
Francis.
Oh, let me see.
She's dead, Dr. Taylor.
Yes. She's dead, all right.
Where did you get that gun, Taylor?
I met Thorne in the hall. He's holding this gun in his hand.
But I tell you, I found it on the floor.
Laura, you say you've just taken your sister Annabelle to her room.
Yes. She was so upset. On the way back downstairs, I stopped in my own room for a minute. We heard the shots and came down.
What is it? What's happened? Laura? Francis?
It's Annabelle. You'd better go upstairs with her, Laura. Don't let her come down here, and don't tell her Francis has been shot.
Yes, I'll go. It's all right, Annabelle. I'm coming. It's nothing.
But, Laura, I thought I heard shots.
It was nothing, Annabelle.
Give me that gun, Taylor. Two bullets gone. All right. Let's hear your story, Taylor.
Well, we'd taken Annabelle to her room. We heard two shots and started down here. Then I saw Thorne. He was carrying this gun in his hand.
I told you I found it lying in the hall, sir. I was in the kitchen. I heard the shots and came to investigate. I picked up the gun just as Dr. Taylor came along.
It's not good enough, Thorne.
But, sir, I tell you,
Look here on the bar, Thorne. Did you ever see this picture before?
Well, where did that come from?
It was hanging on the wall in that frame.
But somebody's cut out the head.
That's the face Annabelle saw in the window tonight. How about it, Thorne? Recognize it?
Well, of course I recognize it, sir. I've seen it many times, but I didn't cut it out like that.
He's lying.
No, I'm not lying.
It's no good, Thorne. You murdered the old man by breaking his bottle of pills so he couldn't get at them when he had an attack. Then you must have frightened him to bring on the attack.
But, sir, I tell
you... You knew he was leaving you $10,000.
I knew that.
Then Annabelle got suspicious and called me.
But I...
And that scared you.
No, I didn't know you were a detective.
But somebody else suspected you, too. The dead girl there. She said she heard something the night her father was murdered. And she was just about to tell me who the killer was when she was shot. Oh,
please, you're making a terrible mistake. I didn't kill anybody.
You had the gun when Dr. Taylor found you upstairs. You admit that. And another thing. When Annabelle saw that face in the window tonight, you were the only one who wasn't in the room. There's something about all this that doesn't add up, Dr. Taylor.
I don't see what. It's all there. It couldn't be anybody else but Thorne.
That's just what I mean. It's all too pat. I've got a feeling that I've overlooked something. Something that I did see but didn't notice. Something that's off key. Operator!
They'll answer in a minute.
Yeah, not tonight they won't. This phone's dead.
Dead?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's still raining pretty hard. Maybe the storm blew the line down. But sometimes on a rainy night like this...
That's it, Taylor. That's it.
What?
The rain. I knew there was something wrong, something missing.
Why, I don't understand.
You will. Come on. We're going up to the tower room to see Laura and Annabelle. Thorne didn't murder anybody. But I know who did.
So I was right. My father was murdered, wasn't he, Mr. Runyon?
He was murdered, all right. Look at this, Annabelle.
Father's picture. But it's been cut out. Why?
That's the face you saw in the window, isn't it?
Why, yes. Yes, it is. So that was it. It wasn't a ghost.
You're sure this is what you saw?
Yes, I'm almost positive. Of course, it was dark outside and... The rain was pouring down, but...
I found this cut-out picture about 15 minutes after you saw it. It was absolutely dry.
Dry?
Why, what do you mean?
I mean this picture was never out in the rain, Dr. Taylor.
But it had to be if Annabelle saw it.
The point is that Annabelle didn't see her face.
And I tell you, I did.
No, Annabelle. It was a swell scheme, wasn't it? Too good, in fact.
What are you driving at?
Thorne didn't murder your father or your sister. You did, Annabelle. You killed your father.
Annabelle. You.
Yes. Yes, me. I killed him and Francis, too. I hated them. All of you. But I hated him most. I was his servant. Yes, I killed him. I broke his bottle of pills. I frightened him out of his sleep. I killed him.
Francis heard the bottle break. She went into the hall to see what it was, and she saw you, didn't she, Annabelle?
Yes.
But Annabelle called you, Mr. Runyon. She was the one who kept saying Father'd been murdered.
Sure, sure. That was to throw us off the track.
Yes, I hate you. You've all had everything. I had nothing. Why should any of you have been happy when I wasn't? Why should my sisters have been beautiful? Look at me. Look at me. Why should they have sweethearts and not me?
Annabelle.
Easy, Laura. She's sick.
Sick? Sick? Am I sick? Oh, you're clever, all right, Miss Mary. Clever, Mr. Fatman. Yes, you're clever. You're clever enough.
Stop her! Stop her! The window! Annabelle. Annabelle.
There are rocks down there, Runyon. 200 feet below.
Oh, why did she do it? Why?
Don't you understand, Laura? All her life, she'd been eaten up by jealousy. It was like a cancer, tearing her apart, distorting everything with hate and greed. She was sick, beyond hope. It's the trouble when greed and hate and envy start boring away inside. Whether it's a person, a family, even a nation, the result is always the same. Dissension, violence, death and destruction. Well, that's that. It seems I spend my life in getting into trouble and getting out of it. But at the same time, I generally manage to get some other people in and out of trouble, too. Be seeing you again. So long.